gotta get to the top, ay, get to the clock, cause time is the ops, and I don't wanna waste it. Hey, Jay Ryan, this is awesome to be able to sit down with you today. Why don't we just get started and talk about how you got into the rap scene?
I think for me, getting to the rap scene, I mean, honestly, it would go back to when I was young, bro, like 5, 6, just kind of listening to hip hop. I didn't know much about CHH back then, but just music in general, just hearing Michael Jackson, Stevie Wonder, different tunes growing up with my mother, my pops. I just kind of found like a love for music because it just made me move, you know, it made me feel something inside, emotions. And it wasn't until I got a little bit older where I started hearing more of like the hip hop scene. And it was at a point in my life where I was kind of like, I want to say being rebellious, but just felt like alone. And the more I listened to music, the more I felt like I was comforted when I listened to people like Tupac and those like Bob Marley and just those who had like a message.
Did you grow up in the church?
I didn't grow up in a church, but I grew up with a spiritual family, if that makes sense. Like my mom was very spiritual on like as far as like the spiritual realm side, the prayer, armor of God. And then my pops, he wasn't too keen on the faith, but he was a believer, but he was still growing in that. He was a young man still finding his way, you know, in the Lord and whatnot. But just hearing people like Pac, bro, like really brought me to the point where I started like just wanting to write poetry. So it started out with poetry, just expressing my feelings. And then from there, I just turned it into music. And, you know, over time, it became better and better. And my passion grew for it. And then I came to the point where it was just like, I can't serve two gods. Yeah. I'm either going to serve God or I'm going to serve the world. And
what age were you at this point?
At that point, I was probably like 26, maybe 25, so around there.
Sorry, I'm just throwing some curveballs at you. There's nothing like the way that hip hop can like pull at you emotionally. If you understand just the lyrical ability of hip hop, like you can fit so much information and so much, like, I guess, theology. Right. Whether it's of the world or, you know, it's Christian theology.
Yeah.
You put so much in there, and it's unlike any other genre of music. And
yeah,
so,
facts.
Yeah, no, like, so that's, I feel like we have a common bond there because, yeah, I started listening to hip hop at a young age.
Yep.
And I definitely feel like it kind of molded me into who I am.
Yeah,
you
definitely.
Feel the same? Yeah.
Yeah, I was, when I started listening to hip hop first, I was probably, like, I mean, 13. I was young, but it was to the point where, like, Pops would come in the room and find CDs, Tupac CDs, Wu-Tang, whoever it was, and he'd break them, throw them in the trash. We listen to this mess, you know? And even then I was like, you know, I gotta listen to Pac, man. I gotta put this back on again. But as I got older and, you know, started to grow more in music, yeah, it was like you started getting to that point where you have to draw a line as far as if I'm gonna be making and creating the music, what message do I really wanna give to others? And also, is it in alignment with God's word? You know, am I really serving him in the music or my talents and gifts? Or am I still serving the world, but walking around saying I'm a believer? So it's like, where's the fruit in that? And I got to the point where I was just convicted, like, okay, I can't make secular music anymore. I got to step away from it and just honor God and with what I have, what he's given me, you know, my gifts and talents. And that's in everything, whether it's music, just your work life, you know, whatever it is, like God's given everyone a talent or a gift or some type of skill that we can use amongst each other to sharpen our brethren or to bring those to salvation. And it's just, I wanna be one of those servants that's like, I'm doing his work and his will with what he's given me.
Christians can be in the music industry and might not have the fruit of someone who is close to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You wanna talk about that? Do you have any opinions on that?
So yeah, you mean like working with like a secular artist or something like that?
Yeah, a little bit of that, or maybe like just compromise a little bit.
Right.
Sometimes.
Yeah, I mean honestly, bro, when you read the Bible, did Jesus walk with nothing but believers, or was he also with the sinners? And I think like for me, I have a lot of friends who are involved in the secular music realm that don't believe in Jesus, but when I get around them, I have a chance to minister to them. I have a chance to lead by example, to show them something different, and also show them that there is a lane, there is an opening for Christian music, right? There is a light, there's a demand for it now because people are starting to get like, you know, I'm overflow with all this yak and just, I can't take anything from this message that I'm getting, and it's not fruitful for my kids. So there's people looking for that positive music, whether you call it Christian music, positive rap, whatever you want to call it. I think it's beneficial to just be around those who aren't believers, because now you're planting seeds and they don't even know it. When I'm sitting around these crowds of people who, I mean, they're producers for Big Sean, I mean, work with Kanye West, I mean, big time folks, Justin Bieber, and it's like, I can sit there in quiet and in silence, pray for them. They don't even know I'm praying over their lives, praying over their family, and they're working on our music together, so they're hearing the word of God, they're hearing these things. So I think as long as you're not getting caught up in the environment with that,
right,
you know, you can stand in that place and fill that void for those who don't know Christ and kind of just plant those seeds.
Right. Talk about the environment that you're in to be a Christian. A lot of people that don't live in Vegas don't understand that, like, there's just normal neighborhoods and normal people in Vegas. There's not billboards on every corner, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But some people don't have, like, the perspective of what it's like to live in Vegas and be surrounded by all this entertainment. There's opportunity around every corner for good and bad, right?
Yeah,
so
definitely.
Do you want to talk about what it's like to be brought up in this and then choose to be a Christian in all of this?
For sure. Yeah, I think people get the perception that Las Vegas is just all the bright lights, casinos, gambling, that's what we're known for. But yeah, there is normal life outside of that, normal communities, you know, good people. And what I tell a lot of people is that they say, you know, it's Sin City. But what I found living here my whole life, bro, is that there are so many Holy Spirit-filled people here in Vegas. I think with the amount of sin and the just exposure to sin that there is in this city, it's also opened up a floodgate of people who are wanting to seek God's will and being led by the Spirit. So,
yeah,
like I told you earlier, when I go to church, you know, I don't just go to like just typically one church. I've been to many churches, and I do that just so I can see the different congregations, see how many people are being led by the Spirit, see how many churches are actually filled with the Spirit. And bro, it's such a beautiful thing to see that people wouldn't even think that. But living here in Vegas definitely exposes you to the elements of the flesh, and definitely forced me at a young age to just buy into a lot of those things. So I grew up quick because I didn't want to be at home all the time, you know, like I was afraid to be at home. So it kind of pushed me out into the streets. Once I found that brotherhood out in the streets and that community, I got exposed to the elements of just what's actually in this city when it comes to like the drug scene, you know, prostitution. There's so much that comes with it, but I think I'm grateful for that because at a young age I got to see it all. And I got to learn from other people's failures and mistakes and just death and different things that I saw. I was like, whoa, like, I don't want to be a part of that. And I've always been walking with the Lord. So he was able to show me, like, it's either going to be this or it's going to be that. But I found that through those things and the hardships, it's all conditioning the heart, right? Everything God does is to condition the heart, whether it's good or bad. It's all conditioning the heart. So when you are going through things that is a struggle or a trial, that's when you want to get closer to God, right? He's like, hey, come closer to me. I have comfort for you, or I have to teach you something. I'm disciplining you. And then when there's things that are good that he's allowing in our lives, it's the same thing. You want to get close to him, give him praise, give him thanks. So it all comes full circle to conditioning. So I'm grateful, bro, that I was born in this city and I was able to experience all these things at such a young age and see it for myself.
That's cool. Yeah, I've also witnessed that the Christian community here is so Holy Spirit and grace filled. And I feel like it's probably because people that are in Vegas who choose Christ, they're actually choosing him. Like if you go to the South, you know, people just go to church because everybody in their family has always just gone to church.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? So I feel like there might be a more of a depth to Christians in Las Vegas because they've made the choice on their own.
Right, that's a good point. And to that point, yeah, you're right, because they have to. They're at a point where they hit a rock bottom.
Right.
You know, they're exposed to things. They're like, man, like I need something. So they see someone next to them or see somebody else and hear their testimony, like, oh, you've been through these things? And so what's different about you? Like, I know Jesus. Well, where do I know Jesus at? You know, and I also think that here in Vegas, you don't feel like forced. When you go to churches, I don't feel there's like a force. Like you have to know. It's always like very just natural. And I think people who don't know Jesus can sit in there and feel comfortable in who they are and hear testimonies. Like some of the pastors I even know, their testimonies are the same as ours. They've been through the same drug addictions. Now they're up here teaching and ministering to people. So if a unbeliever can see a pastor talking about that, I mean, how much more comfortable can you feel as a non-believer saying, well, my story is the same. I don't feel like I'm being judged here. And I could come to the same Jesus that he's talking about and find the same happiness and peace that he has.
Yeah.
So it's beautiful, bro. And I just wish more people knew about the culture here in Vegas for sure.
Right. Right. Me too. I remember choosing to move here, all the random questions that I would get.
Yeah.
Talk about, so taking a lot of, hip hop has to do with taking your life and your experiences and putting them in music. Mm-hmm. Talk about what that's like for you, especially your upbringing, maybe unique stories and things, and what's that been like for you to, it's almost probably like therapy for you, I would say, put it out on music.
Yeah, it definitely is, bro. And that's where it all started was just, you know, I was always, since the age of 8 is when I was interested in Jesus and actually was asked my pops, you know, it all started with the plate that he had that was for me and it said Joshua and that's my real name. It was a little boy praying and I was like, hey dad, what is he doing? He told me he's praying. I was like, what's praying? He told me what's praying. I was like, well, who's praying to? Jesus. Well, who's Jesus? And I was like, he's like, Jesus told me who he was, our savior. I was like, well, how do you get him in your life? And he told me what to do. So I remember at my grandma's house, I went on the side of the house and dropped to my knees and asked him to come into my heart and to be my savior and to forgive me of my sins at the age of 8. And I started crying, you know, I still remember this day like it was yesterday. And I think from that day, my battles started. As soon as I went to the Lord, I was like, Lord, come into my life. It was like instant. So, I mean, I went through a lot of abuse when I was young with my pops. And it was like one of those things where it was like, he was still finding himself. He was hurt. He was damaged. And it was just the way of him getting things out. Even though I was like, you know, I was a good kid. I didn't deserve those things, but it became to a point where it was like in almost every other day, if not every other week kind of thing that was happening to me. Then the beatings would last 2 hours long.
Wow.
And it wasn't until I got older to where I could actually get out of the house where I started staying away a lot more. But just that kind of pain, feeling I was not loved, not knowing my pops is doing these things to me and still hanging on to the faith, you know, God's word was really my stronghold and my mother as well. But she, you know, she wasn't financially stable. There were six kids altogether. So she had to do what she had to do for herself. But she was a rock for me for sure. But man, I depended on the word of God, bro. And when I started reading the word, I was like, I need to express. So I started writing. And as I got older, just the things I've been through, the things in the streets, just drug addictions. You know, I see my best friend get shot and killed in front of me just over something that was just so minute and just turned into something else, bro. And it was one of those things where it was just me, him, and the people. And it's like everyone else ran and fled, but I just kept feeling led to stay with them. And I made a couple attempts to stop the guy with the weapon. And, you know, he pointed at me a couple times and I had to just fold and just watch the whole thing. But I think through all these lessons and different things that I've been through, it's definitely given me an advantage to create music from the heart and that has depth. And that's always been my like approach with music is how can I minister to people's hearts that feel like I do or feel like I did.
Yeah.
And for those who don't know Jesus, how can I relate to them to where it's relatable, to where they're stuck in these same situations, to where they can cross over to Christian hip hop and say, okay, I can actually relate to this artist. I'm not the one to fabricate things or make pretend that things I speak about are the things that I've been through, seen, or have experienced. And my whole thought process there is how do I go to the trenches? And the way I look at it is, because my mom told me this the other day, you need to start making music that's more, you know, about God and more. I was like, Mom, I will. But right now I'm focused on the little flame, the little flickering flame of hope that people have that are in the dark, that I can go to them just like the Lord does to me and to any of us, that once we believe in him, we're that little light in the darkness that he comes to and puts his hands around him and he grows that light, you know? So that's my perception and thought process when it comes to people that listen to music. It's like they're a little flickering light. And if I can feed them, because if I come to someone that doesn't know Jesus, talking about Jesus, 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 Jesus,
yeah,
they're gonna be like, oh, I don't wanna hear this right now. But if I say, hey, I've been through this, I've been shot, been in drug addictions, you know, used to sell weed, been in gang violence, been abused, had my heart broken, all this stuff. And God gave me the hope. God gave me the strength to get through those things. Then they're like, oh, okay, well, I can relate to you. You got a piece that I don't have. So let me find out a little bit more about him. But I love all my experiences. I don't look back at anything that I've been through and regret anything, bro, because I really do feel, like I said earlier, it's conditioning of the heart. Mm. And because of those experiences, it's really given me an advantage to really step out into the scene and say, hey, look, there's hope for all of us, no matter what mess you're in right now. It doesn't matter how far down you are. Because I was walking with God during all this,
yeah,
when I was addicted to drugs and meth and all these different things I battled with, bro. And it's like, people told me before, like, you think you're really saved? Yeah, I was saved. I've been saved. It's just, I was wrestling with my flesh, you know, like Jacob did. I just kept wrestling with God, wrestling and wrestling, to the point where I was like, you got to see the fruit though, right? You got to see progress. There has to be some type of turning away from the old you. And that's what I've seen over time, was me turning away and turning away. But I utilize all my experiences in music, and I think it's such a blessing to be able to do that.
That's strong. I feel like there's this misconception about Christianity, or just following Jesus in general, that you have to clean yourself up and then follow. No, but like, you know, if you look in the Bible, like how he calls the disciples, he just tells them to follow me. They just get out of their boat. They just go.
Facts.
They're not, oh, I got to go take a shower first, you know.
Exactly.
They're like, oh, no, sorry, I got to wrap up this thing, or, you know, whatever. Yep. No, they just go.
That's it, man.
Yeah.
That's exactly.
And
it.
God takes care of the rest in his own time.
Man, that's right on point. And it's funny you say that, because when I took this hiatus from music, when I stepped away for a few years, 7 years, whatnot, and I was like, man, I'm done with music. I'm just going to focus on work, career, my wife, you know, my fam. I started feeling moved by the Holy Spirit again to get back into music and just ministry and just doing God's work. And I was like, Lord, I don't want to do this. You know, I don't want to do it because I'm not ready. You know, I'm not clean enough. That's how I was. That was my thought process in that situation. I remember I was sitting on the couch. I was like, Lord, I wrestling with him. Like, Lord, I'm not doing that. Like, I still got to do this. I got to get rid of this. I'm still battling with this. Like, how can I serve you amongst all these things? The Holy Spirit said, I will work those things out. I was like, okay. Went upstairs and started writing my first song. And I was like, all right, well, let people see that it's real. We're all flawed. We all have our battles. I'm still working through things. But as long as there's a progress, and the biggest thing I tell people when they feel ashamed, that's what you want. When you do something, when you fall short and you feel guilty and you feel ashamed about it, that shows that your heart is in the right place. You are going to fall short, but don't fall short and do things and think, oh, it's okay. You know, you don't feel any shame about it. You know, you don't have any guilt, any remorse, any repentance. It's when you feel those things, you say, Lord, I'm at the end of my rope. Help me in this area.
Right.
And you're being honest with him and upfront. Like, don't sugarcoat things and how you are. Like, that's just what I believe in, bro. It's just being a real Christian. Like, a real person, a real Christian. It's not about pretending to be this magical, holy person.
Right,
it's like,
right.
Man, I'm so flawed. Like, you don't want to be nothing like me. You want to be better than me. You want to be like Jesus.
Yeah.
You
know, on the other side of the coin, I feel like some people oftentimes just feel like, oh, I got to feel shame. I am shameful. I need to just live in shame all the time, carry around this guilt. I feel like, you know, I grew up around some Catholics, you know, in my life. And, you know, I feel like there's a lot of that's like, it's like a badge of honor that I have this guilt because I'm a broken human. But it's interesting because I know that if I'm living my life as close to Jesus as possible, he's the one who takes away all my shame and guilt.
Facts.
And if I'm actually, he cleansed me of all of that. I don't have to worry about my past. I don't have to carry this around.
That's it.
So, like you said, your heart's in the right place if you start to feel those things. But he doesn't tell you to live in that, though.
That's right.
You got to offer that up to him, too.
That's it. Yeah, that's a good point, bro. You definitely do. I think the more you hold on to shame and hold on to guilt, you're not really having faith and trusting in God's ability to free from that. You know, he is our Savior. He is our saving grace. He's our peace. He's our hope. He's our comforter. So once you acknowledge it, you come to him with it, you give it to him. Now you walk in faith from there, knowing you've been forgiven. And now the battle starts all over again. All right, Lord, next time that test comes, let me do my best to pass this test, you know?
Right.
And if you don't, it's all right. Just get back up, dust yourself off, and keep going until you get to the point where you're like, all right, I passed that test. And then get ready for the next thing, you know? But yeah, you're right. You can't walk around holding on to shame, hold on to those things, because then you'll find yourself in a place of depression.
Right. Yeah, and it's interesting because I feel like I'm pulling out these things because It's also like you could choose a couple different paths when it comes to your music. Mm-hmm. So there's some artists that might just hang out in this like dark place and this guilt mm-hmm. place, and they feel like that's real because that reaches people that are in that spot.
Right.
Or these people that are like always happy, go lucky, hunky dory, you right. know, everything's sunshine and rainbows.
Yeah.
Because it feels like they're reaching people in that spot, or maybe they might inspire people to be at that level.
Right, right.
How would you say you approach your music?
I approach it by whatever God puts in my heart, and I don't put myself in a box.
Okay.
So if I hear a production that makes, like, for example, if God puts in my heart, make a praise song, or yeah. I just feel joyful and I feel happy, and you know, it's like, I want to give God praise and thanks, I'm gonna make a song about that. Or if I hear something that makes me feel a little more dark and takes me back to my past and some of those things, okay, let me share some testimony, but also highlight the hope. You know, I don't ever make music, I think, that just strictly just talks about just the shame and just the testimony and just the bad. It's always, okay, there's a glimpse of light in there somewhere. But I think for any artist, I think they should just not put so much thought into that. And just let the Spirit lead you, and don't put yourself in a box or a certain category, and just yeah. say, all right, Lord, what do you want me to rap about? You know, what do you want me to sing about or talk about, whatever it is, and just be open to being led by the Spirit. And then once you find that niche or that little tune or whatever it is, you know, that drive, just follow that and yeah. see what comes out of it.
Talk about your influences. Like when it comes to Christian hip hop, who's mm-hmm. the first Christian rapper you ever heard?
I think the very first that I ever heard was Lecrae. That was the first artist that I heard. I want to say I'm like the biggest fan of Lecrae. Sorry, Lecrae. I'm not the biggest fan. I like his music, but that wasn't like what pushed me over. And to be honest, bro, like I'm not much of a fan of anybody.
Okay.
For some reason, you know, I mean, I like Alex Jean, like Angie Rose, V Rose. Like, there's some artists, you know, Young Chris, What Up RG, you know, 1K Few. There's some artists I really like, but I don't get caught up in so much of like who's my favorite.
Yeah.
You know, I look into this, like, who's putting out good quality music and staying in accordance with the word, but really, I don't get hung up on, even in the secular realm, I don't really get hung up on, oh, you know, who's this, who's that. I kind of keep myself disconnected, because I feel like the more you listen to other people, the more you want to sound like other people. So I kind of just tune in here and there, but at the same time, I focus on my sound, you know, what God's doing in me, my story. But to answer your question, the first ever Christian hip hop rapper I heard was Lecrae.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, he's brave, man. He's setting the bar there.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, so it was pretty cool to see that. Something new.
That's cool. So when it comes to collaborating with other artists, then what is the tension? There's probably tension there, because like you listen to their verse that they send in or whatever, and then maybe it might want you to change. You might want to change what you've done already mm-hmm. on the song, right. or it needs to change your style or whatever to fit.
Yep.
So it all works together. Because still, you want to make good music, right?
Yeah,
so
definitely.
Talk about that a little bit. Like, if you're not trying to let other artists influence you and your sound, mm-hmm. how can you stay true to that but also collaborate well?
Yeah, I think when it comes to creating good music, you always have to be open to redoing verses, redoing hooks. I mean, I do that even on songs that are by myself. So like, for example, I might have a beat and I come off on the beat, and then I go back to the producer, he adds a couple more sounds, and I come back, listen to him. I'm like, you know what? I need to come off with like a softer approach. I'm a little too aggressive. Now that he added these strings, it gives like a softer feel, you know, or a little more pain should be added into my tone. So I think that same concept should be applied when you have features. You might have a song that just has verses or a hook, and you send it to another artist and they lay down their verse or their hook. And when you get it back, you might be like, you know what? They came off a little more aggressive than I did. You know, they have a little more bounce in their verse. So, you know, I need to match that, because I'm not gonna let them beat me on my song. You know, I gotta match that there. So I think you can still hold true to like your own being original to yourself, but just matching the energies of what you hear from who you're collaborating with.
That's cool. That's cool. Do you want to talk about your newest single? What's the name of it? What's the whole story behind that?
Sure. So God Forbid is the newest release. So that's the first full song from my EP called Dear America. It has six songs on it total. I did drop an intro called Dear America, and it's no hook, just all the way through rap, some like angelic harmonies and stuff like that are on it as well. But God Forbid is the very first like full song that I'm releasing from the EP. And then from there, I'll release maybe two more off of it, one every 2 months. And then I'll follow up with some music videos and I will release the whole project. So I'm hoping to drop the EP by third quarter of this year.
Cool.
So I'm excited for it. It's just like a little taster, you know. There's not too much testimony and it's still great music. But it's all a layup for the Book of Joshua album that's going to be coming out. And that's going to be more like testimony.
Okay.
A lot of features and stuff like that. And in the meantime, I'll be working on just some singles with some features from other people. So stay tuned. Got some cool people already involved. So I'm excited, man. Just a lot of good work coming out.
What's reception been like for Dear America?
It's been good. It's been good, man. I think the hardest part is just really getting things out there. But so far, the feedback that I've gotten is good feedback. Again, all I dropped from Dear America, the EP, was just the intro. And so there's not much there for people to really take and like hold on to yet. But it's enough to be like a teaser to be like, okay, what's next? So I think more so it's created like that excitement to like, man, what's next? Like, what's Jay Ryan going to drop? You know, let me hear some full songs and see what he's coming with, because that Dear America was a dope intro, but it left me hanging. Mm-hmm. And that was the point of it, kind of just like give you a little bit of a teaser and then leave you hanging wanting more.
So talk about that, being a new artist in this space. Like, what's it been like trying to put your stuff out? What's the process been like? Has it been frustrating? Has it been kind of cool because people reaching out to you, whatever mm-hmm. that is?
Yeah, I think overall it's been cool. It's been a blessing. There's been a lot of great connections. It's definitely a lot of work because I'm very hands-on with all my music. I write all my music, I record it, and then from there I'll take it to my engineer. I'll sit with him through the whole session and we'll go through engineer and mix it all together. And I'll say, hey, change this, add this, you know. But of course they have free range, but I'm always there throughout the process, even the production. Yeah. When I get my beats made, I go sit through the whole beat session.
Cool.
Yeah, I want horns. I want grand piano. I want violin.
Yeah.
So I'm very like particular on like how I want my music to sound. So everything that people hear, I'm a part of the entire process mm-hmm. up until the mastering point. You know, when it gets to the master, I just, all right, let it go from there. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the marketing part of it, that's been the most challenging because you got so many artists, so many people in the business, and everyone's reaching out. So it's like, okay, I'm sending emails, but are they opening them? Are they seeing them? Yeah. So it's really consistently staying in their faces on Instagram, social media, building your brand, being serious, having the right approach. But it's been great, bro. Like, to be honest, I've made the connections. And what I did, I dropped a song called Hate Myself. That was just a standalone single. Mm-hmm. And that was like, it was pretty dark. It's just how it sounds, Hate Myself. It's just like how Elijah wanted to, you know, he asked God, like, hey, could you just take me out of the game? You know, I'm just going through so much, just, I don't want to be here no more. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things. I did battle with suicide at some points in my life, and it was kind of a reflection on that, but God still being my hope. But I dropped that just as a buffer. Let me drop this, and now let me get the emails together. Let me get the connections. So I used that to build my portfolio of emails and connections before I started dropping the EP. So I already had a load of emails and connections. So now when I drop things, I already have an email list that I go to, and I can, you know, blast that out. But it's been challenging in some areas, but I made connections with Rapzilla, you know, CHH, Gorilla Cross. I mean, all across the board, I've been make some solid connections and had a chance to like share testimonies and, you know, and just by being on Instagram, dropping these videos that are more ministry videos, talking about Jesus and the Word of God, just connecting that way with people, with magazines or just random folk that just yeah. want some type of advice or need a prayer. So it's been beautiful, bro. I vowed to God when I first started, when I got back into this, I said, if I could just help one person, that'll keep me going. Yeah. And just, as long as I just know that it's fruitful, and it has been. So I'm staying.
So as you've been, sorry, I interrupted.
No, you're good.
As you've been working on your brand, what would you say your brand is? What is Jay Ryan's brand?
I think my brand is just thorough, raw, and real. Just no facade. I'm not trying to be like nobody else. I'm not trying to fit a mold. I'm not putting on just a fantasy, like, you know what, this rapper talks about this, let me talk about this because it gets some type of juice going.
Yeah.
I just want to give you who I am. So I think my brand, when it comes down to it, is just a servant of God who is just genuine, genuinely loves God and loves people and wants to share his testimony with others.
Is there anything else you wanted to talk about? You hoped I would ask you today?
No, man, I think that pretty much covers it, bro. Like, I appreciate you guys having me on and giving me the opportunity. And man, it's a blessing just to know you're here in Vegas. And shout out to Justin and Rapzilla for that connect. And look forward to just staying connected with you, bro. And, yeah, you know, doing some things in the church. We'll see where everything goes.
Great. Pleasure. Thanks.